A couple of months ago, I attended funeral services for my cousin, Bud. And I knew it was going to be a big service. I knew there would be a lot of people. So I arrived really early, but it didn't matter. I still had to park about a quarter of a mile away from the church. There were just so many cars, so many people. Now, I have been a part of a lot of large funerals through the course of my time in ministry, but this had to be one of the largest I've ever attended. And it makes sense, because he worked for nearly 30 years at the Greenville News, and he was also the chairperson of the Greer Chamber of Commerce, and he was a commissioner for the South Carolina Department of Transportation. He was extremely involved in his local community, so he knew a lot of people, and a lot of people showed up to pay tribute to the life that he had lived. And you know, one thing that struck me during the course of his service and all the people who spoke, he was an accomplished leader. He had done a lot of things. But not one person who stood up to speak at his funeral mentioned any of his accomplishments. Not one. Instead, the thing that every one of them talked about was his deep and abiding faith. They talked about how he lived his faith out every day, how he loved fiercely, how he served others selflessly. They talked about how he would take the shirt right off his back and give it to anybody who needed it. And it was just a wonderful tribute to a man who lived his life open-handed and open-hearted. Now, I've preached over 100 funerals in my 18 years in ministry, and I've attended many more than that. But Bud's funeral impacted me like no other one has recently. And of course, he's my cousin and I loved him and I'm going to miss him, but it was more than that. Being at his funeral gave me pause, because Bud had such a powerful and obvious legacy that he handed down to his children and his grandchildren. It was so obvious how his life had impacted hundreds and hundreds of lives in his community and around the state. It was so obvious that I thought, gosh, I want my life to make a difference like he did. And in fact, what I thought was, if my life and faith makes just a fraction of the impact on others that Bud's did, then I'll consider that to be a big success. So it struck me that he had such a powerful and obvious legacy. Another thing that struck me at his funeral service and about his death was just how fragile life is. Now, he was 76 when he died, but he was the picture of health. He had no health problems whatsoever. But on a Sunday afternoon in August, he walked across his farm to tend some cows, and one of those cows kicked him. And he died of blunt force head trauma, just like that. One minute, he was playing with his grandchildren in the yard, and just moments later, he was gone. It was a startling, it was a somber reminder. You just never know. We never know how much time we have left. We never know if this day is going to be our last. And there is a similar and solemn reminder in our scripture lesson this morning from the book of James. In fact, we're going to turn to James chapter 4. And I'm going to begin reading at verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there doing business and making money. Yet you do not even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wishes, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the right thing to do and fails to do it commits sin. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So here's how I'd like for you to help me this morning. I'd like for you to turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message. The message is, life is a mist. Don't miss it. Can you do that for me? Life is a mist. Don't miss it. Lately, I can't walk out in my backyard without finding one of these things. Now, you may not be able to see it, and even if you can see this, you might not know what this is. But if you don't know what this is a Nerf dart. And it's evidence of just how many capture the flag games have been played in my backyard by my children and their friends over the past few weeks. And don't get me wrong, I love to see them outside running around. I love seeing them have fun playing with their friends. It's a lot better than having a device in their hands. I love to see them out playing. But finding these darts everywhere, well, that's a different story. I don't love, because the ones that I don't find, the dog finds and chews up. And the ones the dog doesn't find, the lawnmower finds, and they end up thousands of pieces everywhere. So I don't love finding these darts. You know what I think the problem is? I think they have too many of these things. When I was a kid, I had similar toys, but whereas they have like 150 of these things, I had maybe 10. And when we'd go outside and play and we would lose a toy, we would search high and low. We wouldn't stop until we found every single thing, because I knew that if I didn't take care of my toys, then I wasn't going to get any more. That was going to be it. And so it added a sense of urgency to making sure we took care of our stuff. I understood scarcity. And that scarcity created in me a stronger sense of value for the things I had. Now, on the other hand, if there's always plenty more where that came from, you don't have to worry about scarcity. Well, then you don't cherish things quite as much. And that's true for Nerf darts. It's also true for the days of our lives. You see, when we live our lives as if there's an endless supply, like there's limitless days before us, when we live that way, we can't really cherish today as much as we ought to. And I think that may be what James is getting at in this passage for this morning, because here's how he starts in verse 13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a town and spend a year there doing business and making money. In other words, James is saying, let me have your attention. I have a word for all of you who continuously talk about what you're going to be doing tomorrow. I have a warning for those who live every day as if there's just a limitless supply of days. You don't have any limit. There's infinite number of days in front of you. I have a warning for you. And that warning is, you don't know the first thing about tomorrow. This is what he says in verse 14. You don't even know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Now, we don't know what any of the disciples' last names were. But I'm going to guess that, I'm just thinking that James's last name must have been Killjoy. Because this really isn't a word that we enjoy hearing. I mean, you don't know about tomorrow. You never know when this day is going to be your last. This might be the last moment. This might be the last breath you take. I mean, James is kind of, he's intense. And we don't necessarily like being reminded of these kinds of things, but he seems intent on jarring us and jolting us. He seems intent on making us recognize our finitude, because maybe James knows that by recognizing our finitude, it leads us to a different attitude about life. It's like James is saying, wake up! You're sleepwalking through this life. You're not recognizing what a tremendous gift each and every single day is. You act like you're just going to live forever, but I have news for you. You're just a mist. You're a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. Your life is like the morning fog that's burned away by noontime. Life is short. James says, you can't waste any of it. One minute you could be playing with your grandkids, and the next minute, you could be gone. So just be sure that you cherish every minute of this life. Be sure you're living every single day to the fullest. Be sure you're living on purpose, with intentionality. You have a limited supply of days. So be careful with them. Have you ever walked through a cemetery and just looked at the grave markers? There's always grave markers of different shapes and sizes, and you could tell by looking at just the grave markers whether the person was wealthy, or sometimes you could tell that they weren't. You can walk by and tell whether or not the grave is frequently visited or whether it's been neglected. But you know what? No matter all the variations in grave markers, you know what is common to all of them? The thing that all of them have in common is they have two dates. There's a birth date and there's a death date. Now, nobody chooses those dates. None of us get a say in when we're going to be born. It happens. And the vast majority of us never have any control over when we're going to die. The only thing we do have control over is the little dash that's in between our birth date and our death date. That's the only thing we have control over. Now, sometimes that dash represents a long period of time. Sometimes that dash may be 100 years. Sometimes it's just a few months. But either way, whether our dash is a few months or 100 years, it's still, in the grand scheme of things, it's just a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. It's gone. Either way, it's short. And most of us would say it's too short. That little line, though, between those two dates, it's really the only thing we have any say in. How we're going to live the in-between. And given that stark reality, the question is, how are we going to spend those days between those dates? It's so interesting that in verse 13, James starts off with a warning to those who are constantly talking about tomorrow and those who are preoccupied, in James' words, with doing business and making money. Because, after all, those are two things that certainly do consume a lot of our lives, don't they? Doing business and making money. You know, one of the things we've been sharing at our town halls is some information, some tremendous data that a team from Advent has collected about our immediate area, and they have done a tremendous job of going out and really researching the needs in our community and surveying people. And they've identified things that really have been surprising to us, some surprising statistics. For example, in our little bubble right here in the Five Forks area, do you know what people identified as their primary concern in life? Traffic, not traffic. It's a good guess, though. It's a very good guess. The number one thing that people said was financial health, financial stress, financial management. That's the number one concern that people in our area have. Number two was the stress associated with managing busy family schedules. Maybe you can relate to that. And so what that means is right here in our backyard, where the average household income is 27% higher than the national average. Right here in our backyard, where we have larger houses and better schools and higher levels of education, what we've learned is that none of those things, higher income, larger houses, better schools, higher levels of education, none of those things have led us to having any more peace, any more contentment, any more comfort in life. Maybe it's just the opposite. Because those things have made us stressed. And we're stressed doing business and making money. And it seems to occupy a lot of space in our lives. And it points to the fact that all of those things can take control of our lives and lead us to even more frantic schedules. And we can turn out to be dashing around from one place to the next, trying to keep our head above water. We can spend our lives dashing to live instead of living that dash between those dates. And that's actually no way to live at all. it's just surviving. It's really not living. In Psalm 90, the psalmist writes, verse 4, "For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it's past, or like a watch in the night." Now, in those days, a watch, they would have people stay up, take shifts through the night to watch on the city's walls. And a watch would be like a 3 to 4 hour shift. And so what the psalmist is saying, Lord, we know that to you, 1,000 years flies by like 3 or 4 hours. It's just gone in a blink of an eye. And then the psalmist goes on to say, verse 10, "The days of our life are 70 years or perhaps 80 if we're strong." Well, that's pretty accurate. Average life expectancy is about 78 years. So the psalmist is saying our life are 70 years or perhaps 80 if we're strong. Even then, their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. And then verse 12, "So teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart." Teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Teach us to value every second. Teach us to live our lives on purpose, not just cruising through life unaware, but not just dashing to live, but truly living that dash, living intentionally on purpose. Teach us to live where we're cognizant of the impact that we're making and the legacy we're leaving, because life is just a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. It's gone. Alan Sachs said, "Death is more universal than life. Everyone dies, but not everyone lives." I thought that was powerful. Death is more universal than life. Everyone dies, but not everyone lives. I don't know about you, but I don't want that to be true for me. I don't want to die without ever having truly lived. I want to live life to the fullest. I want to recognize the gift that every day is, the gift that life is. I want to live. Last week when Pastor Laura Allen was talking about praying bold prayers and living with fearless confidence, the kind of confidence that the earliest disciples had, they didn't let anything stand in the way of them living boldly and proclaiming the faith. It didn't matter what they were threatened with. They lived with fearless confidence. And hearing her talk about that, it caused me to ponder, what's holding me back from living with that kind of fearless confidence? What am I afraid of? What's the obstacle? And whatever it is, I better figure out how to get past it in a hurry, because I'm 43. I'm halfway dead. Really, average life expectancy is 78. I'm over halfway to that point. So I can't afford to wait any longer to live with fearless confidence. If I'm going to do what God's called me to do, if I'm going to serve God's kingdom with fearless confidence, I can't afford to put it off any longer. If I'm going to leave a legacy of faith and a lasting impact on my family, I don't need to waste a single minute. I need to be about that business intentionally, on purpose, every single day. I can't afford to wait. And neither can you. Life's too short. Life is a mist. Don't miss it. And here's your first step. I have some homework for you this week. Here we're at the beginning of this legacy series, and we're going to be talking about legacy and leaving a legacy of faith and what we're going to pass down to our children and to the next generation in the church. We're going to be talking about that over the next few weeks. But just to start things off, for you this week, I have some homework. I want to challenge you this week to spend some time thinking about your legacy. What do you want to be known for? What do you want people to say about you when your days on earth are accomplished? What do you want people to be able to say? And then after you've spent some time pondering that, then ask yourself this question. If I died tomorrow, would these things that I want people to say about me, would they be true today? And if not, I want to challenge us all to spend some time thinking about what we need to change for that to be true. But I don't want you just to ponder these questions. I want to challenge you this week to actually write out your obituary. Now, I know that might sound a little morbid, but I want to challenge you to do that. Write out your obituary. Write out the things that you hope people will say about you, things you want to be true for you when your days here on earth are accomplished. Because what that can become for you, for us, is a blueprint. So we can maybe every day take a look at it. Use that as a blueprint and a guide to draw our attention back to today. Not to worry about so much about tomorrow, but to think about today and how to live this life to the fullest. And then after you write out your obituary, I want to invite you to share it with your spouse or with a friend and ask them to pray. Ask them to pray for you as you seek to leave that legacy behind. Got it? Everybody got your homework? There's going to be a grade next week. Let us pray together. Lord, you are the giver of life and every good gift. We thank you for breathing into us the breath of life and for every single minute we've enjoyed that tremendous gift. We know that our lives are like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And so we pray, O Lord, that you would please help us to live each day to the fullest. Give us awareness to live life on purpose, with intentionality, cognizant of the legacy that we're leaving for those who are coming behind us. Help us also to live this earthly life with our eternity in mind. Help us to lay aside bitterness, fear, hatred, and anything else that might encumber us and keep us from being the people you've created us to be and living the life you've called us to live. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.